In this week's parsha, Parshas Vayakhel, we get a sense of the contribution of the woman to the Mishkan. The pasuk says, "Vayavayu ha'anashim al hanashim," and the men came al hanashim, and they brought all their jewelry with them, choich v'nezem v'tabas v'kumas. And many of the mefarshim comment on these words, "Vayavayu ha'anashim," that the men came al hanashim. It means that the men came after the woman, or by the behest of the woman. Seeing that they were bringing jewelry, which has special sentimental value to the woman, it wasn't just the value of the gold or the jewels that they were bringing. It's not just possessions. The jewelry itself has personal connotations, and therefore the woman get a special mention for being eager to bring their jewelry. And in fact, it was something that they had to initiate as they were coming with their will, and they were bringing this jewelry for the Mishkan. The women are mentioned many times in these psukim as having chachma slave and actually doing a lot of the weaving work, weaving the ureis, which were the curtains that created the whole structure of the Mishkan. We have met the woman already many times in Sefer Shemais and the whole story of Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have, of course, the Mialdais who are refusing to kill the babies in Mitzrayim. We see them by the Shiras Hayam when Miriam Hanavia, Achais Aaron, the sister of Aaron, took the taif in her hand, a musical instrument in her hand. And it wasn't just Miriam who had the musical instrument, but Vatitzena Kol Hanashim Achareha Betupim Uvchalais. All the women came out with their tupim and their mechalais, and Miriam had them sing with her, Shiru la Hashem ki ga'ai ga'a sus v'rachvai rama v'yayim. We also see them again in this week's parsha when they brought the pasuk calls them marais tzeveis, their mirrors, to Moshe Rabbeinu. They came with the mirrors that they used to beautify themselves with, and they brought them to Moshe, and they said, "We want to donate this to the Mishkan. We want to donate our mirrors." And Moshe was uncomfortable accepting the mirrors. He said, the way Rashi says it, that the mirrors that the woman used to beautify themselves could sometimes lead to really negative things. And how can I accept these mirrors and bring them into my holy Mishkan? And Hashem said to him, accept them, because Elu Chavivin Alay Min Hakol, these mirrors, they are more precious to me than anything. Because, and why are they called Marais Tzeveis? Hashem says, through these, the women were able to create Tzva'ais Rabbais B'Mitzrayim, multitudes of armies in Mitzrayim, meaning all these people that we have in the Midbar with us, all these people are building the Mishkan, they wouldn't exist without the woman. Because the husbands, they were exhausted from the very, very difficult work that they had to do, but more so from the helplessness and the hopelessness of the situation. And they said, who needs to build families here? Who wants to bring families into just more deprivation and slavery in Mitzrayim? Or as we would say in words that we could understand, who gets married in the Warsaw Ghetto? Who starts families during the Holocaust? And these women, as some brave women did do, actually, in the Warsaw Ghetto, but these women went and they brought them food and drink, and they would feed them, and then they would take the mirrors, and they would look at the mirrors, and they would say, Ani na'em imcha, I'm more beautiful than you. And they would bring their husbands to understand that, yes, it is worthwhile to create families. And they would have children. And beautifully, what Moshe Rabbeinu ended up doing with these mirrors is he used them to build the kiyar. The kiyar is the faucet, the water. And it was a fundamental part of the proving of the innocence of the Isha Saita, the woman who is accused or suspected of being unfaithful to her husband. And through the waters of the kiyar, which was built with the mirrors of the woman, we were able to bring peace between man and his wife. The women are specifically mentioned here and specifically not mentioned in different places. For example, we don't see the woman by Chet Egel, we don't see the woman by Chet Meraglim, and we don't see the woman by many of the other complaints and Chataim in the Midbar. It's always talking about the men and not talking about the woman. We don't actually even see them explicitly by Matzah Torah either. There is a very famous, well-known medrash when it says Koisomer lebeis Yaakov, Isaged lebnei Yisrael, that Koisomer lebeis Yaakov is referring to the woman. And we do see that the women are an important part of Kabbalah Satorah because by the mitzvah of Hakel, which is a mini Matan Torah, it's a ceremony which happens once every 7 years after the Shemitah year, when the king would read from the Sefer Torah, it explicitly says that all men and women and children have to come. So we understand that if the women have to be there by Hakel, certainly they played a role by Matan Torah. But what we want to do is try and explore the role of the woman in Yetzias Mitzrayim and in the Midbar, and perhaps understand why don't we see them joining in with the Chataim? Why do we see them joining in here by the Mishkan and this whole story that I just told of the mirrors and the kiar? I'm going to generalize by describing a fundamental difference in the character of men and women, a generalization which we do see playing out in the Dor HaMidbar. There are two koichas that we need to have to build Klal Yisrael, and those are emes ve'emuna. And together, a man and wife can bring their aspect of emes and emuna into their relationship, thereby creating a home which has emes and emuna. The koich given to the man is emes, which doesn't mean that a woman doesn't have emes, but it means it's the place where the man excels. Emes of attaching himself to the learning of Torah, to Limud Torah, which is of course emes. And the way it plays out in life is by seeing the reality in front of them the way that it actually is. Whereas a woman has been given the midah of emuna. Emuna meaning a woman has imagination which can see a bigger picture and grab onto something that's not exactly the way it necessarily is playing out right in front of my eyes. And so, for example, going back to those Maariv Tzavos, the men were actually right in Mitzrayim. What the men were seeing in front of their eyes was correct. We're here in a horrible situation. Any child who's going to be born, you know, if it's the time of the Gzeirah, of the boys being thrown into the river, so the boys are going to be dead. But even if we're after that time already, what for? We're never getting out of here. No slave has ever escaped from Mitzrayim, and that's the fact. So why should we continue to perpetuate this misery? Let it just end with us. Why bring children into it? And the woman, with their imagination, with their emuna, with their ability to hang on to something beyond the facts in front of me, were able to say, we just have to do ours. You're right. It's a really, really horrible situation here, but that's not in our control. We can bring children into the world, and that is in our control. And that's what we're going to do, despite the very, very bitter reality, meaning that the men's MS, the men's perception of the reality was indeed correct, but the women were able to see further and to say, wait, there might be more here. We have to just look beyond the reality that I see right now in front of me. With the Chet HaEgel, we had the same thing. With the Chet HaEgel, the reality was that Moshe Rabbeinu had said that he's going to come at a certain time, and we can imagine the men standing and looking at their calendars and saying, well, the time has come, and Moshe Rabbeinu is not here, and we're here, we're stuck in the Midbar, and we don't have anyone to lead us. We're totally dependent on Moshe Rabbeinu to take us through this Midbar, and now we're all going to die, and if we don't have someone or something to lead us, then this is the end. And the truth is that their perception of reality was correct. The time had come, the time had gone, and we're stuck here in the desert. And the woman, with their grasp of emuna, were able to say, but it doesn't make sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take us out of Mitzrayim and leave us to die in the Midbar. It's true that Moshe Rabbeinu might not be coming back, and the Midrash talks about how the Satan took a mita and put Moshe on it and showed Klal Yisrael a vision of them, of Moshe Rabbeinu dead in Shemayim, whatever it means. They were able to look at something and say, we're lost. And the woman said, indeed, we may be lost, but we have emuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has something in mind for us and he's going to save us. And therefore, we don't have to create an ekel because Hashem, who has been with us until now, will continue to be with us. And there's no reason to panic, even though you're right, that according to the calendar, it's off. But maybe there's something else here. And lastly, the Meraglim. the Meraglim went into Eretz Yisrael and they saw the reality, and the reality was what they saw. They had the Mefarshim, when they're describing the fruits that they brought back, that it took 8 people to carry a cluster of grapes, and from that cluster of grapes they were able to make all the wine that they needed for all the Nesachim in the Midbar, all the wine offerings in the Midbar. Of course the Meraglim were right. This is a crazy country. How are we going to fight it? It says that there was a rimon shell, a pomegranate shell, on the ground, and the Meraglim went into it to sleep. They turned it into their cottage. That's how big it was. In the morning, one of the girls in Eretz Yisrael, one of the children of the giants, came and shook out the pomegranate shell, and they all fell out. And therefore, it says we felt like insects, because we were like insects living in a pomegranate shell. This is a crazy country. The fruits are the size of the fruits are enormous. We're never going to be able to fight this country, say the men truthfully. And the women say with emuna, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has proven himself to us over and over and over again. We believe that even if it's true, you're showing us the fruit, we can't argue, the fruit is enormous. But there's got to be something more, because Hashem didn't take us out of the desert, out of Mitzrayim, to have us die here in the desert. In fact, it says in the Pasuk, Shlach Lecha Anashim, the Kli Yakar says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Moshe, I told you, Shlach Lecha Anashim, send for yourself men, the Kli Yakar interestingly says, Hashem says, I would have said woman, because woman mechava vaisas haaretz. Woman love the land, and even though the reality is that this land is scary, the woman's love for the land would have transcended it. That's the point. We can transcend reality. And therefore, we didn't get involved in the ego, we didn't get involved in the Chet HaMeraglim, and in Mitzrayim we did have the strength to hold on, because we knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greater than, and we have to believe. The Ibn Ezra comments that when the men were creating the Egel, it says that the men took the earrings from their wives and children and gave them to Aaron to use in the Egel. The men did this with strength and with force, meaning that they were forcing their wives to give to the Egel. And when it comes to the Mishkan, it's an entirely different tone. Vayavayu ha'anashim al hanashim. They came together, the woman came first, and the men followed them. And he points out that this is a difference between the way that we serve, that Klal Yisrael served Avodah Zarah, as opposed to the way that Klal Yisrael serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, we see that the whole relationship to their wives and children were different. It was a relationship of force, of forcing their wives to do something. Because the mistake of the men, when they were looking at the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had disappeared, they looked at their relationship with Moshe as a total dependency on Moshe. He's the only one that can take care of us. No wonder they fell apart when he came back late. And what Hashem was trying to show them is, you don't need to be dependent on any one person. Avodas Hashem comes from developing a relationship, a desire to serve and to love and to obey from love. That's what Avodas Hashem is. That's what Avas Hashem is. Certainly there's Yiras Hashem that's involved in. But it's not about Moshe Rabbeinu is going to lead, and therefore if he's not here, we need to force our wives to give their gold because we need to have an egel. When they built the egel, it was a desire to find someone, something else to be subservient to. And they transferred this to the way they dealt with their wives and their families out of that same force, which we see again by all kinds of Avodah Zarah, including the Melech, where the service was to take your own child and to bring him to Avodah Zarah. A woman by nature, another generalization, but a woman by nature tends to relationship, not force. I'll get you to do something through my influence, not through my forcefulness. And so therefore, of course, the women were the ones who came first to the Mishkan. The whole relationship of Klal Yisrael to the Mishkan was a nedava, was I want to bring, not I have to bring. And so they were the ones who came first, because they have this ability, the woman had the ability to look at it and say, of course, this is what I want to do. This is what I need to do, because this is going to help me develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. the implications for us of learning through this, again, and I'm saying a generalization, but learning through this generalization is that there are times in life when things seem to be very, very difficult and complicated, and the reality is sometimes harsh and bitter. And we have to understand that we do have this koyach to tap into ourselves and to tap into the emunah that we have and to transcend the reality and use our inner nurturing strength and our believing and our, yes, our imagination to rise higher and to say, I know what I'm seeing in front of me, but it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who loves me and who I have a relationship with, has a plan for me, and he's going to help me get through whatever this situation is.